to Standing in the Sunlight with Cynthia Rose. We are all on an ever-unfolding unique journey. Join Cynthia Rose as she begins her unique perspective to all that is meaningful. Topics and personalities that support your path, bringing inspiration and passion and heart-centered ways to live a more fulfilling life. A down-to-earth and uplifting sharing of what it means to be spiritual, creative, and living life to the fullest by standing in the sunlight. Born an intuitive medium, Cynthia Rose is also an ordained minister, singer, astrologer, educator, and writer. She has studied the intuitive and healing arts for over 40 years. Rise up and stand in your sunlight now with Cynthia Rose.
Hello. Aloha. I'm coming to you today from the beautiful island of Kauai. It's a very special place for me, and I'm a little choked up because this has been a beautiful journey every time I come here, and it just so happens that my first show is coming to you from Aloha, Kauai. I'm down in beautiful Poipu. It is a beautiful sunny day. We have had a few days of torrential rain, more rain on this island than locals have seen in years. So I take that as a clearing away and a beginning anew. So I wanted to connect with you because, like many of you, I feel like there's just a need for more love, more aloha in the world. And this is my way of reaching out to you, and I do hope I'll hear from you and we'll stay in contact. Yes, I'm an evidential medium, and I have grown through loss and pain, and I do stand in my own sunlight, and I know that life is beautiful. I have learned that. I've walked this path. And today I want to share with you some of the experiences that I have had on the Hawaiian Islands that were life-changing for me. And also, first, I want to say I'm a practical girl, so I like to practice practical spirituality. And what happened for me, one of my first metaphysical experiences here, didn't fit with my logic, or I always like to say I'm two sides of the brain. I'm very practical and logical, and I'm also very spiritual, so left brain, right brain. And one of the things that happened for me is that my husband and I, we got engaged out on the Big Island, and we went out to view dolphins or whales or whoever came around. The morning that we went out there, I was extremely tired. It had been a long flight. Had my coffee in hand. It was windy and cold. So there was no lead up like, oh, this is going to be amazing. It wasn't at all. So we went out with a captain of a boat, and we were told that we won't go to the dolphins. They have to come to us, and if they start staying with our boat, then we'll just leave you and let you float out in the open ocean and see if they come to you. So this started happening along the way. We had a whole pod of dolphins. I don't remember how many they were, if it was 8 or 12, but there was a good group of them. They just were doing a show for us, and it was beautiful. So out we went into the ocean and just hang out there. And if there's any problem, she said, give us a wave and we'll come and get you. So my husband, Brendan, and I, we went out there. And as I'm out on the ocean there, the waves are choppy and I'm gulping water and I'm thinking, okay, this is not magical at all. I'm going to drown here. At one point I waved at her and she didn't see me and went back on the boat. My husband had an issue and he decided to stay on the boat. It was too choppy, but I'm a determined girl. So I said, no, I'm going back out there. So I went back out there, and all I was told is, you know, if they come to you, you can ask them a question and, you know, don't try and touch them. And they'll know how you're feeling. And quite frankly, I don't know. There's a whole thing about dolphins, which I know nothing about and didn't know anything about. And as I'm out on the open ocean, my water, as I'm bobbing up and down the water in my ears, I'm hearing this, and I'm thinking, well, what's that noise? Well, I look down and the dolphins are swimming around me. And every time I went off on my own, away from everyone, and just bobbed up and down, they were circling down around me. Now, I have to say, I didn't really believe that I was going to get a message from the dolphins, but I'm open-minded. Like I say, I'm a practical girl. So at the time, I had lived with terrible chronic pain, and they still hadn't found the cure. And I learned a lot on that journey, but I still was like, okay, is this going to end? I've done lots of energy work, or maybe. So I asked the dolphins, am I going to heal? Will my body heal? I feel healed, but will my body heal? And what happened next was unexplainable. I felt the flood of like 1,000 babies laughing, if you can imagine that, the joy of that flood through my body. It was indescribable other than that. It made no sense, but I was feeling a joy I had never felt before. So I took that as a yes and didn't really think much of that other than that my logical mind was struggling with that, going, well, that really happened, but what does that mean? Does that mean yes? Well, I hope so. And I left it and forgot about it. So home I go, and it would be, I think it was 6 months later or something like that. It was within a very short time that I would find out that I needed an operation, and that I needed, you know, there were certain recoveries. I had a long recovery, but there were certain operation that I needed to have. And I'm here today. I'm completely healed. And that's all I can say. And you, for me to be a believer, I had to experience that. It was incredible. I went home from that experience having coffee with a friend of mine, and I was telling him this experience, and he said, Cynthia, there's a whole thing about dolphins. Don't you know that? I said, no, I don't. Because I kind of walk through this life as a, let me experience my spirituality my way. I need to know it. I need to know what's true for me. So that's what happened to me. And the practical side of my mind really had to say, okay, there are things that I don't understand that I could just stay open to. And that's why I started this show, is that to share with you and to have guests that will share with you, maybe help expand where you are. Maybe you'll share with me how life has expanded for you, how your outlook and your life has changed. And so that's one of the things that happened, and I'm very grateful for that. I've never forgotten that. It was incredible. And then fast forward a few years later, I come to Kauai, and we came here, my husband and I came here with a couple of friends of mine, and they are both energy healers, and they're actually going to be on the show next week, Don Lay and Lynn Brisden. And I had studied energy work for years at Don's school. And we got up one day and Don said, do you want to go meditate somewhere to a powerful piece of land? And we were up for it. So as we went for a drive, Don was telling us about a kahuna, and explaining what it was to become a kahuna, just the whole path. And he was speaking about a specific kahuna, Kahu Abraham. And as he was talking about this kahuna and what it is, he was having a little trouble getting into the land that he had sat on and meditated before. He had taught workshops here before. He'd worked with Kahu. So as he said, well, I think someone's taken it over, we went down a driveway And down that driveway, we found that it was taken over. And a lady joined us and went right up to Dawn. Her name was Lynn Miyamoto. And she spoke to Dawn and spoke about the power of the land, that it was reignited by Kahuna, Kahu, and she showed us a plaque. It was all complete synchronicity. And it's 3 minutes to 12, and at 12 o'clock, we're talking about this. So we sat down and we listened as she talked about it, about so this is the Lawai'i Center on Kauai. And there are 88 shrines built by everyday people of different Oriental descent. And they would go there every day. They would put little gifts in there, pray for their sons to come back from war. There's a whole lineage here. That land also goes back to being Kahuna land. So we went to wander through those shrines after she talked to us. And I can tell you that that land, there was a level of compassion that I was feeling. And I was walking, I walked up and I lit some incense. I didn't even realize what I was doing. I just kind of was in this trance, walked up, lit the incense and started to walk. And I felt an overwhelming sense of compassion. And I felt an incredible release of the path that I had walked, and many, many, many years of severe pain. And it was well over now, but there was a release and I released it. And it was just an incredible experience. The synchronicity of it was beautiful. And the Lawai'i Center, that land is a land of compassion. And they now have a little temple there. You can go in and meditate. And I have been back there many times. And when I go there now, I just sit in a joy that I carry with me always. So that's a couple of the, what I call the non-logical experiences. They were very spiritual for me. That is just a couple of the experiences that I've had. And I've also had experiences. I've done mediumship here. I'm an evidential medium. And I have to say, when I'm here, salt and water, like grounding here, there's something about not being as grounded here. It's a little bit more work. This island is a healing island. All the Hawaiian islands are beautiful. But I heard somewhere that the healing island for the Hawaiians was Kauai. And I'm down in Poipu, and just west of us is Lawai'i, the Lawai'i Center. And there is some historical talk about the healing waters of Lawai'i. It's just simply beautiful here. So that's just an introduction to some very unpractical experiences that a practical girl had. So here for me is always a spiritual pilgrimage. It's always meaningful for me when I'm here. And it's really, I've come to realize it's just the land. It's just being here. But for the locals and for the people that have settled here, it's a very different experience because we're here visiting, and the Hawaiian people came from here. There are many other nationalities that settled here, and we're tourists here. And there are some beautiful things about the island that I'd like to share with you, and also a little perspective. When we're here, we try and honor that we recycle, we try and shop at the farmers markets and support them here, because living here is isolated. Even though we're in the U.S., it's not the mainland, it's on a small island, and everything has to be brought in and brought out. So many of the people here, spirituality every day is just normal to them. It's your state of mind. In fact, when we went to get our rental car, that's exactly what the lady at the rental car agency said to us. How can you have a bad day here? She said, it's really up to you. When you come here, leave all your worries behind and be present here, because she shared with us that she sees people come here and they're still carrying everything from worthy, where if you come here, you've got to experience being here. It's a very special place. And my favorite, there's a chocolate farm here. You can go and watch cacao being grown, learn about the harvesting, taste some that's been grown right here. And I'm a chocolate hound. I'm 85% love my dark chocolate. That's something about me. So one of the things that I love to do too is sit with the turtles. So they nest all along the south coast here and up north, but we love the south coast. And we'll just sit with the turtles and sit in silence. And there are many lessons that I have experienced from turtles here. You watch a turtle out on the ocean crashing down on the waves, they just surrender. And there's no issue. They surrender, they flip, they roll around. They just surrender to the way things are. And I know that we'll be going to a break in a few minutes, so we may get interrupted in this. But one of the things about turtle to me, turtle means old age here. But I'm going to talk about what it means when we come back. Hold on, I'm looking forward on this after this little break to share that story about the turtles with you.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm back. So I know we were talking about turtles. So, like I say, the turtles to me represent, and they have a meaning that's old age. For me, they represent surrender and flow. I keep little memorabilias around the house to remind me just to flow, that things don't, the mind likes to line everything up the way it's going to be. But living in the moment, living truly in the moment, means flowing in the moment. And that's the way I live my life. I didn't always live my life that way. And I think the many years of living in pain taught that for me. My pain became a spiritual journey. So one day we were here. I wasn't healed yet. We were on the cliff watching those turtles. And I thought, ah, I get it. I've just got to flow. Some days are like this and some days are like that. And back in those days, you know, that often if you're in severe pain, they'll ask you, what is your pain level, 0 to 10? And 7 was a good day for me. It was very extreme. And at that time when I was trying to heal from that and release whatever it was I needed to, because I was so determined to heal, I came to accept and surrender that maybe this is what my life would be and that I could find joy no matter what. And I had that experience doing energy work, that I was healed. My body was having a hard time, but I was healed. And I knew that my body was going to heal. I just felt completely at peace, but I also was equally not attached to what was going on. I'm not one to say that if our body is suffering, that we're not in the right spiritual place, because I think that's just, frankly, I think that's judgmental and too limiting. I think a lot of us are having experiences through our bodies. Some of us are having experiences that might seem more through the mind. We're all learning what we need to learn. It's the listening that's important. So one of the things that I committed to back then was, as I was healing, I would never forget being grateful for just those everyday little things. And I was recently talking to somebody who lives in chronic pain day in and day out. And we were both talking about how easy it is to forget all that we have. And that raising our vibration is about taking in that gratitude and really feeling that gratitude. How much do we take for granted? Do we get in the shower and forget that we have hot water, or forget that we're sleeping in a comfortable bed, or that we have a bed, that we have a choice of food, that we can get fruits and vegetables, and or maybe we don't have a choice of organic foods where we are, but maybe we can grow our own. And there's just so many things to be thankful for. But as I've been healed for many years now, I find that I have to remind myself every day to be grateful for those everyday things. And I don't think that it's something that we'll just always remember, because I remember saying, oh, I'll never forget to be grateful for all of this, grateful that I'm here, grateful. But you do. So if you do this, please don't be hard on yourself, because we have to remind ourselves, be grateful for this, be grateful, just invoke it. And I think that for me, as this is the introductory show, I'm just sharing some personal with you. I think for me, I call this the path of compassion. You learn to see deeper when you live through all that pain. You learn to see the unimportance of petty thoughts that everybody has, until we learn to say, we don't need to have those. We let them go. There's so much more important. That's how I live my life now, from that place. Ah, yes. Living from that place. So I want to go back and talk about mediumship here a little, and I'll be talking more about that in a couple of weeks. But as I was born a medium, and mediumship is available to all of us, but I just knew it. I didn't call myself a medium. I didn't know what that was. I mean, when I was 3 and 4 years old, I spoke to my grandfather. I just talked to him. I heard his voice like I would hear yours. And he was always protecting me. He was always around me. Now, I did, however, my mother was a reader, and my mother had told me that she had seen an angel when I was born. And the angel told her I was going to live, because she didn't know what had happened and she'd had a long labor. And she thanked that angel. So there is that open-mindedness that I had from the beginning. So I never questioned him. And he was always there, but he never wanted to interfere with me, but he was protective. And I have to say, I'm grateful for him. He was just always been there. But I want to say, it's not just one family member that's there for you. There are other family members. As I learned, that's what I was doing, was mediumship. And as I trained, and because you can, I didn't know you could train. I didn't know that it was something that we can work on. I thought this is something that we are either born with or not. And I know mediums that are not born mediums, that are mediums. So as I learned that, I began to speak to family members I had one other family member. I didn't know a lot about her, but I had a great love for her. And she, on the same side of my family, actually. And she was, I wouldn't say I communicated with her. I just called on her for strength. And I have had the evidence brought through of who she was from another medium, which is lovely. Experiencing who she was, where she was from. She gave me some good solid evidence. And that was for me a confirmation of, yes, I walk with you too. So I just want you to know that you're never alone. If you are missing someone and they've crossed over to the other side, and I say crossed over because I don't believe in death, then you must know they're with you. And they're just a thought away for you. At this time, I'm just going to share with you that if you are interested in focusing on connecting with loved ones, you can go to my website. And if you sign up for the newsletter, you get a free download that's just a short little connect with loved ones to remind you to do that. Because just because they're not here in body anymore doesn't mean they don't want to communicate with you. They are there with you. So honor that. Because you don't need to go to a medium to know that they're with you. People go to mediums to be reminded that, yes, they can do this, or yes, they're around, until they feel like they can do it themselves. So that's something that I think that we're moving into a time when it needs to be more available for everyone to be able to feel that connection. So please don't go to a medium and say, can you tell them this? Because they already hear you. They're already there. And equally speaking, if there's someone you don't want to connect with, they're not going to be around you. So I don't want you to worry about that either. So back to the turtles, and we're moving into the dolphins and the turtles. I do believe that we are all connected. And that this connection is sometimes recognized by thinking of someone when they call, or you hear of somebody, something great has happened for them and you're happy for them, or not great and you're not happy for them. There is a connection, and I hope that we move more into a time of honoring this, that we're all connected. Because that feeling of aloneness, that feeling of disconnection, I think is what is the problem of a lot of what goes on in this world, a lot of what we call the darkness in this world. That people forget that we're responsible for each other, we're responsible for our actions, and that there is no separation. And so that's something that I also live my life by, and I see it all the time. You know, yesterday we went for a walk along the beach and we stopped for a moment. We had a beautiful conversation with someone, and we were just talking about this awareness. The person I spoke with said, yes, I feel a connection with angels. And I thought, how beautiful is that, that you're speaking to your angels. I speak to my angels. You all have a guardian angel. You're born with that guardian angel. Nobody is more special than anybody else. We just have to rise up, stand in your sunlight, and realize that It's not a chosen one or not a chosen one. It's about being you, more of you. And sometimes being you means cooking for others. Sometimes it might mean creating music. It might mean drawing. It might be doing the ins and outs of daily, something you do for work where you touch another's heart. But everything we do is all part of that collective. And each of it matters. It's all a big system. I like to think of us as, if you look at the lights in the sky or all the stars in the sky, it's all like a big board of lights, and we're all lights in that sky. And when one light goes out, then we have to shine brighter. And one of the things that we have learned over time is that we need to worry for people. And remember now, a thought is energy. This is not new science. This is old. There's many books on this. A thought is energy. So if I have someone in my life who's unwell, and I'm thinking of them and worrying about them, what kind of energy am I really sending them? So our thoughts are important. When we think of someone and we think, oh, they're having a hard time, just send them some love. See them as healed and work to see that as all is divine with them, and send them love. Now, I say that knowing that that can be really hard if somebody is really going through a hard time. But I can tell you that I have had experiences where I've spoken to somebody who is in between. And what I mean by in between, I've often had people with Alzheimer's or memory issues. And I'm like, what side are they on? Okay, you're not here, you're not there. I've come to recognize, oh, that's kind of an in-between. That's what I call it. And they can connect with the other side, and then they're sometimes connecting here. It's quite interesting if you look at it from a scientific point of view. It would be really lovely if somebody would do a study on that. But I actually spoke to someone as if they were crossed, telling me they were getting ready to cross. Not something I would say I like to share, but I already had the person confirm that was happening. So, but they were describing to me what the other side was like already, even though they hadn't crossed, and how they were tired of being in that body. And it was like they were half in, half out. I have to say that really blew my mind a little bit more about seeing, okay, there is so much more going on than we realize. And I bring you back to, as I say, I'm practical. Once I have experiences and they make sense, then I trust them. I trust the spirit world. The spirit world it's not separate from, it's not a specific belief or religion or thing, but I've had ministers come through that have crossed over. I've spoken to a Buddhist monk that has crossed over, somebody who didn't believe, so many of different lifetimes here, what people had, and they all have never told me that it isn't beautiful there. So, and yet we weep for those because we lose their physical presence here, but their presence is always here. So that's another reason that I started this show, is that I see people suffering and I see people wanting to know that there is more. And I'm here to tell you, I've lived it. For years, people have told me, you should write a book. And what came to me is it was time to start a show and share some of my experiences. So if you're having some of those, I have a sense that somebody's around me, they probably are. But it's not as woo-woo or strange as some might think. And I encourage you to listen, because listening is the key. And that's what I love about Kauai. There is a stillness here. There is I can't put it into words, but there's just a vibration here that is so healing and so beautiful. And many, many people have shared this with me in their words. I don't know what it is. I just feel better when I'm there. I don't know what it is. I just feel so rejuvenated when I leave. And Kauai is such a special place here. And I just wanted to touch on, since we are doing this from the island of Kauai, you can go and buy locally grown coffee here. Coffee, chocolate. I had a chocolate persimmon yesterday. And I've always wanted to try one. And it looks like chocolate pudding. It looks like it's overripe. It's sweet. I don't know if it actually tastes like chocolate. I wanted to put some cocoa powder in there. But it was amazing. When we're here, we like to go to the farmers markets and enjoy the foods here, like the papayas here. There's pineapple here that you won't have anywhere else. You can't get it on the mainland. It's just incredible. And you probably can't get it in Europe either. It's grown here. So maybe you might be able to get it on one of the other tropical islands. So aloha to all of you that are joining me from all over the world. I encourage you to come here. I had a great conversation with a lady from Australia yesterday about how magical it is. I said, Australia, you have beautiful coast there. She said, oh yes, I live on the water there, but it's really magical here. Just hard to put into words. So if you feel like you need to get away, this is a beautiful place to come. And when we come back, we will have our last segment. I hope you're going to stay with me. Thank you so much for joining me. Just hold on. We'll be right back.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone who
had to be independent and take initiative. And that's how I handle every project I get.
Discover new ways to develop great talent at gradsoflife.org. Brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
Ah, thank you for staying with me. One of the things I wanted to mention that's beautiful here, some of the other wildlife, you can see albatross here, that the only place they nest, I think there's 2 places in the world, and they tend to nest up in the North Shore, up in the Princeville area. There's the lighthouse, you can go and see them there. And I think we're going to drive up and look for them tomorrow. They nest, albatross are, they have life partners, and if you live up there and they nest in your yard, that's where they're going to be, and you don't touch that area. Doesn't matter what you've got growing there, you don't garden in that area. So we've had locals take us up and show us the albatross, and they're quite funny the way they walk and the way they are, but they're absolutely amazing birds. So if you get a chance to see the albatross and or go up to the lighthouse up north It's quite beautiful there too, to see these beautiful birds. And I understand that the female, after she gives birth, that she goes off, or the male sits on the egg too, but she goes off and flies hours somewhere to get some food and is gone for days and days. And so the male and the female, I understand, share in sitting on the egg. It's an equal opportunity marriage. So I think that's kind of beautiful. One of the things I wanted to make sure that I mentioned today, I know I'm flipping back and forth between Kauai and what I'm about with this show, but it's because I'm here. So we were lucky to see, I think we saw about 4 monk seals down on the beach yesterday. Now, monk seals were endangered, and thanks to efforts of mankind, their numbers have grown a little bit. I think they've gone up like 50 more or something like, last count was there are 1,353. Someone told me 1,400. But there's these beautiful souls that volunteer on the beach to protect them. And so we have had discussions with them, and actually yesterday, they tag them at the very bottom. They put a little tiny tag so they can see where they are and help them if need. So yesterday my husband was able to take a picture with a good camera, and they were able to enlarge it and see the actual tag. So they know that this one was actually a 13-year-old male that was born in 2005. The reason they do this is that what I understand is that monk seals are actually susceptible to human diseases, and they're the only sea mammal that can't sleep in the ocean, interestingly enough. So when they come onto land, they're tired. They can be tired and they can be sick. And so they keep an eye on them to help them. Like, they can get viruses like we get viruses. So they'll cordon off an area, and you can watch them, but you cannot disturb them. And one, they actually have a sign that says, shh, seal is sleeping. So if you stand there and go, oh my gosh, look at this, they'll actually open their eyes. They're very light sleepers. So we always try and be respectful that if they're sleeping, then we let them be. And yesterday was quite a sight, because we saw a turtle and a monk seal together. The turtle climbed right up into this cordoned off area. It's very common to see turtles morning and night. And they have seen a monk seal, a turtle before, but this one probably saw a good spot. Nobody will bother me. So that was kind of interesting to hear a little bit more about the monk seals. It is an offense to touch them. You have to stay, I think, 10 feet away. So thankfully, there are people that volunteer here to sit on the beach and just encourage people not to go too close to them and not disturb them. So I think, with being a light sleeper, and you've got to come on land and people crowd around, and so thankfully this organization is here. They also have like beautiful pods of turtles. I don't know if you say pods or not, but we've sat, and not right with them, but we've sat, and there's counted like 17 turtles. They're all sitting there sleeping, and people like to come up and see them. But if you do, I've been asked to share this, and I'm happy to share this. If you do, don't take your cell phone and shine your light on everyone. Can you imagine if you were trying to sleep and somebody put the cell phone light or a flashlight in your face? Because that's what we sometimes see people doing, and they're there because they're wanting to have a sleep. I believe they can sleep in the water, but for some reason, they like to beach themselves, and sometimes they like to bask in the sun. So just let them be, and don't disturb them. They're incredible animals, mammals. reptiles. They're incredible beings. So there's much to see here, the albatross that you won't see anywhere else. Like there's one other place in the world maybe. And of course the turtles and the monk seals. The monk seals are supposed to be solitary animals, thus monk seals. And they do island hop, they do travel a lot. But it's quite beautiful. We got some pictures in the daytime, so those will probably be up on the website at some point. And so that's just a little bit about what it's like to be on Kauai, beautiful fruits and vegetables. And if you come here, feel free to treat it as a spiritual retreat and let the island guide you and flow to what you can experience here. And I'm gonna hop back to this idea of being here as a visitor. Because what's happened over the years is it's gotten very busy traffic-wise, and Kauai is definitely on the map. We meet many people that have only been here once or twice, and we've been coming many years. And one of the things that we want to honor is there's many cultures here that they have to be responsible for all of their waste, support the local farmers markets. It's a very interesting experience to live here. We lived here for a very short time. It's a very different kind of experience. You have to think about it. It's isolated. Many people are not materialistic when they're here. I mean, everybody is or isn't. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's really about the experience of being here. So if you do come here, just, you know, and you can ask your angel to help me have a more spiritual experience, and you will. The people you meet, everything will be perfect. And that's one of the things that I want to, we're in the last segment of the show here. One of the things I want to talk about is energy. I did energy healing work when I was in pain, and it was such a profound teacher for me. I like many of you, I'm sure, I was empathic as a little girl, very empathic. And I felt things I didn't understand. I would say things I didn't understand, but that's more the mediumship. But I would feel so impacted by other people's feelings and my feelings, and it would be overwhelming. And that can happen to you here too, is that everything that you need to clear can come up. So I did this energy work. I started doing it because I had a very interesting experience. A music producer friend of mine took me to the school that I took energy work with. And I felt like after I had the experience, I was a little skeptical about it all. I had the experience, and then I met my friend for dinner after. And I could feel this energy pouring out of my head. I said to my friend, we've been sitting here for an hour having dinner, and I can feel heat pouring out of my head, and it's been an hour. I really can't tell you what that was. I can't explain it to you, but that's what happened. I became very aware of my energy field, and I truly believe that if you do have pain, you can, if you do energy work and really tune in and really learn to use that, you can learn to release a lot through energy work. It just became a fine tuning for me. It just, then everything was heightened for me in a big way. My empathicness, I was able to release a lot of, when I would feel somebody was sad or I'd feel worried for somebody, I would hold on to that. And I learned through energy work to release it. So I'm really a proponent of learning energy work. And so I hope you're going to tune in next week when I have Dawn Lay and Lynn Brisden. They're two wonderful healers. I learned so much from both of them. They're going to be talking about the energetics of relationships, which it's going to be February 14. So whether you're, whatever kind of relationship you're in, or you just want to hear about energy and relationships, it's going to be a very powerful show. So I'm really excited about that. And I do look forward to connecting with you. You can always shoot me an email at standinginthesunlight@gmail.com. I really hope that you will call in and we'll have some connections. Please remember that. And I would love to hear if you've had some experiences here, or if you had some experiences with healing and energy work with pain or whatever you've healed from. Because I think this is really important that we share our stories, because it just goes beyond. And I just remind you, I was somebody who was told I would never be healed, that I would always have pain, and it would never, it was just going to be the way it is. But I always chose to go with, and I did Eastern and Western, I always chose to go with a doctor who said, I believe you can heal. If they didn't believe that, I didn't bother with them. I went with somebody, and I'm forever grateful to a doctor who was an osteopath who was able to, he actually is a medium, but he doesn't tell people he's a medium, and he would often feel things or know things. He would never share that, but I shared with him that I, just a little bit, that I had these gifts, and then he showed me a crystal, and I went, oh, okay, so you understand. And he sent me for some beautiful sound healing. It was absolutely incredible. And the experiences I had there, I had past life experiences that came forth from that sound healing. It was unexplainable. So like I say, I'm a practical girl. I'll be sharing in this show. We'll have different guests that I believe are standing in their sunlight and doing that to help you. Because remember, if we all stand in our sunlight, then we can help others too. We've got to be bright lights for ourselves first and then for others. So it's with great gratitude that I'm so excited to be here on Om Times Network. And I'm looking forward to connecting with you on the show through email. I'm going to be leaving you with this song that the show comes from, that was written on the island of Kauai. And it's called Standing in the Sunlight. Aloha, mahalo. Thank you. Possibilities. I choose the open road. Trusting what I cannot see. Destination unknown. Love inside, it keeps me in the flow. I wake in love with life, so alive I just know. I'm standing in the sweet sunlight, doesn't matter what the weather's like. Golden rays on that crystal light, heart liquefied. Imagining a moving train is more than what you see. Feel it, see it, make it real again. The weather's like